You're listening to the Church on the Move Roswell podcast. We hope this message inspires you, encourages you, and challenges you to take your next step with Jesus. Thanks for listening. Let's check it out.
So we're going to take off right here. Go with me to Luke chapter 2, verse 8. We're going to start talking about the shepherds. And this is some amazing stuff about the shepherds. And first thing I want to say is, let's just read verse 8. That night in a field, everybody say in a field. Near Bethlehem, shepherds were watching over their flocks. And so, man, I started meditating and asking myself a bunch of questions that I've asked before and some that I've never asked about this whole story. And it's like I never can dig deep enough. Every time I dig, I get a little more. And the first thing I want to point out is just about shepherds themselves. There's something very significant about shepherds in the Bible. We know that one of the most famous psalms of all, Psalms 23, starts with, "The Lord is my shepherd." There's something about the profession of the shepherd that imitates the heart of our Savior. And then he says in John 10:11, he said, you know, "I'm the good shepherd, and the shepherd gives his life for the sheep." And so, I mean, he refers to himself as a shepherd over sheep in that he lays down his life, and a good shepherd takes care of the sheep. You know, in Psalms 23 says, "I lead you in green pastures." You know, he leads, a good shepherd takes their sheep in the right season to the right pastures and the right places and takes care of them. And so I think about why he chose shepherds. I think it's just a reflection of his heart. It's a reflection of who he is. What they do for a living when they do it with honor and integrity reflects his heart towards us. And so, and I also think about great people in the Bible, like David. Where was David? A shepherd. Where was Moses? When he saw the light, the bush burning on the mountaintop, he was a shepherd for 40 years. David was a shepherd for about 13, somewhere in that time frame. But shepherds, man, it's like he's calling out these shepherds. And if you remember the story of David, that when the prophet came to anoint the new king, who he knew was in David's house, David's parents' house, and he called all his brothers, and he didn't call David. And he said, "Is there not another brother here somewhere? Do you not have another son? Because none of these are it." And they didn't even think to call David in. And that's kind of how shepherds were thought of. Even in this day, shepherds were considered the lowest job you can do. It was dirty. It was stinky. You lived in out in a field. A lot of times those shepherds wandered from place to place based on the seasons where their flocks needed to be for winter, for summer, for spring and fall. And so they were trapped. They were like vagabonds. They were considered kind of criminals, semi-criminals. And you know, because anytime anything happened and they were around, they blamed them. And some of it was true. They were just kind of restless and wanderers with no home. And I think it's interesting that not only is it a reflection of the heart of our Savior, Jesus, that he picks shepherds because he's got the heart of a shepherd, but that he also picks people considered to be the least in society. And I think he's saying, listen, if I can reach them and I came for them, I want to show you that I'm here for everyone. I'm here for everyone. And that you can't get too low. How many people do we know that were wanderers living on the street, stealing, messed up, lost, that get saved and come off the street? Man, that happens a lot, man. That happens a lot. And so he's saying, man, I'm here for the lowest of the low. I'm here to save. I'm here to minister as a shepherd. That's why I'm coming to the shepherds. But there's more to this story than meets the eye. I begin to wonder, why does he start that night in a field? Why does he? Because when God starts giving details, man, he's doing every detail for a reason. It's not coincidence that he picked Mary because she's in the lineage of David, and he knew that her husband Joseph was also in the lineage of David, that he had to come from the house of David. It's not coincidence that he picked her. It's not coincidence he decided to bring a child in the world through a woman. It's not coincidence that a woman was the first one to see the risen Savior and the first one to testify to his resurrection. I mean, none of these are coincidental things. It's all part of his salvation and restoration plan. And he was restoring women in those moments because of Eve. But he's also restoring the Adams, men, in certain moments. And he's restoring things that Satan had perverted and broken. And man, I'm going to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, to talk about the very first shepherd that ever appeared in the Bible. It happens right here. Genesis 4, verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore a Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Next verse. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a... But Cain was a tiller of the ground. So the first shepherd is Abel. Abel's the first shepherd. Now watch what happens here. Next verse. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Next verse. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Firstborn, he brought a lamb. He brought lambs to the firstborn of his flock. He brought a lamb. And he respected that offering. Offering here means worship. It's an act of worship. Anytime you give an offering, it's always an act of worship. So these are acts of worship. Next verse. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. Next verse. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? I could teach you a dozen things in those scriptures. We're going to go past that because I want to get to a certain point. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the... that Cain rose up against Abel and his brother and killed him. So we have a first shepherd. Where's he at? In a field. Man, I'm telling you, God's the ultimate redeemer. So the first murder recorded in the Bible, taking of innocent blood, murder is the taking of innocent blood, is Cain killing his brother, the shepherd, in a field. So God decides to appeal to shepherds in a field. Why? Because God is restoring brotherhood back to men. He's restoring brotherhood. He's always restoring something. This is my belief. I believe that none of this is insignificant, that what was lost in Genesis, Jesus came back to reclaim. So it's not a coincidence, and it's not coincidence that it's put in the Bible, shepherds in a field. God is making a statement to mankind and to the kingdom of darkness that, yeah, you won that battle there, but there's another battle coming and there's another warrior coming and he won't be defeated. As a matter of fact, at his birth, he's restoring mankind, restoring brotherhood in a field with these shepherds right now, tonight at his birth. Sending a message to the kingdom of darkness, the real king has come. He's sending a message. Then it says this, suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared in radiant splendor before them, lighting up the field with the blazing glory of God, and the shepherds were terrified. Wow. Man, I tell you, every time we see angels appear, almost every single time, people are terrified. It must be an amazing sight. I know that when Moses was in the presence of God for 40 days on the mountain, that he came back and he was shining so bright, the people said, cover up, Moses, we can't even look at you. He was only in the presence for a short period of time. I believe that angels are so bright and they appear so bright because they've lived in the presence of God for we don't know how many millions and millions, maybe billions of years. So when they show up, it's like, boom, like this bright flashing light. In Roswell, they'd say, oh, aliens, spaceship coming to get me. And you know what? They'd be right. Angels aren't from Earth. They're not of Earth or from Earth. They are aliens to us. But this angel appears with this bright light, scares them, man. And it's, a couple of facts right in here. First of all, they're just doing their job. It's an ordinary day, an ordinary night in what they're doing. It's ordinary day. It's an ordinary night. Then the angel appears. The angel appears. And there's something very powerful about that. That God will appear and begin to minister to you about Jesus sometimes in the most strange places. Some of you, as I have, I've led people to Jesus in restaurants, hospital rooms. I mean, Jesus finds people doing at work in ordinary places, in ordinary moments, family gatherings. I mean, it's amazing where Jesus will show up. It's really amazing. Now, these shepherds are near Bethlehem. How do we know that? Well, let's keep reading. But the angel reassured them, saying, "Don't be afraid." We'll come back to that in a minute. "For I have come to bring you good news, the most joyous news the world has ever heard. For it is for everyone, everywhere." I love that. "For today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you. He is the Lord Yahweh, the Messiah. You will recognize him by this miraculous sign." And listen to the miraculous sign. This is a miraculous sign. "You will find a baby." That's not miraculous. They saw babies. "Wrapped in strips of cloth." Well, why is that miraculous? You know, you got to put a baby in something. I know Julie and I one time decided to try cloth diapers. That didn't last long. And that's how they all used to do it, with some form of cloth. They wrapped those babies in some form of cloth and had to rinse them out and wash them out. We went right back to Pampers really quick. You get tired of washing those diapers, and it's nasty. But he's wrapped in strips of cloth. That's not miraculous. And lying in the feeding trough. Why is that miraculous? Well, it's miraculous for a reason. Because these aren't ordinary shepherds. These are shepherds that tend the flock of lambs, of sheep, that are for sacrifice in the temple. These aren't ordinary shepherds. And because they did raise the sacrificial lambs, they knew that when a lamb was born spotless, otherwise it was white, it was perfect, it had no spots on it, they would take it and wrap it in the cloth. Because it had to be without blemish too. And that cloth protected those lambs from getting scrapes or cuts or bruises on their body. This is why it's miraculous. Because they knew that those sacrificial lambs were wrapped in cloths. The same kind of rags that Jesus was wrapped in. The exact same. They also knew that when they took those sacrificial lambs in to be inspected by the priest before they were sacrificed, that they would put them a lot of times in a rock or in a trough to inspect them. That's why this is a miraculous sign to these shepherds. There's something else that's happening here too. There's a prophecy in Micah. Micah chapter 4 verse 8. We're going to put it up there in just a moment. But there's a prophecy, and it's written about in Jewish writings about the tower of the flock. And that Jesus would be born near the tower of the flock. Well, the tower of the flock is right outside of Bethlehem. And the flock is the lambs that were being prepared for temple sacrifice. The tower of the flock is right outside of Bethlehem on the road to Jerusalem. On the road to Jerusalem. Many people believe that Jesus was born in a barn right on the edge of town, right by the tower of the flock, or in the tower of the flock. Because of Micah 4:8. Can you put Micah? Oh, we already did. You guys already read it? "And you, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion. To you shall it come, even the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. Mary's the daughter of Jerusalem. She's a Jewish woman. And she just bore the Savior who's coming to bring his dominion on the earth. And so it's right by the Tower of the Flock. These are the reasons why we know these shepherds aren't ordinary shepherds. And that when the angel says this is going to be a miraculous sign, and then we read a baby in a manger with cloth on him, how's that miraculous? Now you understand why that is a miraculous sign to them, because it represented the lamb, the sacrificial lamb that would be slain for the sins of all mankind. And they knew it. Some speculate that these shepherds who tended these particular sheep were not only shepherds, but they were low-level priests too. They were not only shepherds, but low-level priests. So they're the lowest human on the planet as far as what they did for a living, and they were considered the lowest human being, but they also are the lowest priests. And Jesus is saying, if I come for the lowest, you know I've come for everyone, anywhere, anytime they call out to me. I'll save their life. It's a message to us. It's a tremendous message to us. Now, let's keep reading. Just gets good. Gets better. He said, then all at once in the night sky, a vast number of glorious angels appeared, the very armies of heaven, and they all praised God, singing, glory to God in the highest realms of heaven, for there is peace and good hope given to the sons of men. Now, the Bible says, in reading this, that there's only two times that all the angels appeared, like opened up the sky and appeared. And the only other time I can think of it is when Elijah was talking to one of his servants, and the armies were coming against them, physical armies, and he said, open the eyes of my servant and let them see there's more with us than there is with them. That's the only other time I can see all of heaven open and all the armies of angels. But those angels appeared in chariots of fire. They were ready for war. Because in the Old Testament, they're fighting. But now we see that the heavens open up again, and these angels are singing. Why? Why are they singing? Because the King of Kings and Lord of Lords has come. Their day of doing that is up. Jesus has come, going in the fight. He's in the spiritual warfare. He's taking dominion. He's going to defeat all the rulers of darkness, all of them, Satan, and on down, he defeated every single one of them. So now, instead of appearing in war as warriors, they're appearing as a choir singing, glorifying God. Now, the Bible says that angels are innumerable. There's not a number we can place on them. I don't know what that looked like, but man, can you just use your imagination and imagine first this incredible angel appearing that is so bright, so large, so terrifying that it terrifies you, and they have to reassure you and say, don't be afraid. Then all of a sudden, after they tell you this good news about a miraculous sign of a baby in a manger wrapped in cloth, and the shepherds are going, hold on, that's what we do to sacrificial lambs. This must be the Messiah. Then all the heavens, billions, trillions of angels are now singing as one voice this unbelievable song. Wow. That's just amazing. Do you know there's going to come a day when we're all in heaven together, and with all those angels, we're going to be singing? I love how angels celebrate. Man, we clap, and the Bible says, oh, clap your hands, all you people, in celebration of God. But man, sometimes we need to learn to shout. I mean, we need to get past, sometimes there's moments during praise and worship, I'm like, sometimes I'm thinking, man, don't clap right here. It's very solemn. Man, it's worship. Just be still and let the Lord do what he wants to do. There's other times I think, oh, man, this isn't a time to clap. Lift your voice. Lift your voice and shout, man. This is a time to sing. This is a time to shout. Man, we need to become more sensitive to the things of God. and understand the moments and the situations that we're in. There's a time to clap, and I appreciate it. I know it's a sign of, hey, we agree with you. Praise God. And I appreciate that and value that. But man, sometimes there's just time to shout. Christmas time, celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the angels chose to shout it out. They chose to not just shout, but to shout and sing and celebrate. Because something has happened here. He said, for there is peace and good hope given to the sons of men. A lot of those words are translated differently in different versions of King James and the other Bibles. Man, it says goodwill toward men. All of it means, some of it say favor towards men. All of it means grace. It's all the grace of God is being extended now. I wondered, I don't know if you've ever asked yourself these questions, but I asked myself these questions. Why are the angels celebrating like this? Why wasn't it good enough for that guy just to come tell them and for them to go? Why did all of a sudden, to me, the way this is presented, man, and I could be wrong, but the way it's presented is like this angel shows up and he already knows all those other angels are just like, come on, get your part over with. We want to sing. We want to rejoice. We want to celebrate. So that's why it's not a long speech. It's like, unto you is born, and this, and then you're going to find a sign, and it's going to be miraculous, and you're going to see this and that, and now heaven opened up, let's go. And they all celebrate. And man, guys, we got to learn something from this. So I'm wondering, why are they celebrating like this? Why are the angels so happy for us? And so I speculate a little bit that, man, I don't know if it's just because one day in heaven, they showed up and Jesus was gone. And they saw their fellow angel go to Mary and say, hey, you're going to be carrying the Son of Almighty God. The Word of God is coming, going to be in your belly. You're a virgin. She said, how am I going to get pregnant? By the Holy Spirit. This is a spiritual birth as well as a physical birth. It's happening in you. And they went, oh man, Jesus is gone. Where's he at? Oh, he's in her belly. When's he coming out? When's our Jesus coming back? You have to understand, he's always been the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's always been the captain of the host of the armies of heaven. And so I just wonder if that's why they're saying this. It's like, he's back. He's back. There's our Jesus. I wonder if they celebrate like that because they love to see the will of God be done right. That they knew that it was the will of God through what the angel said to Mary and what was happening in the spiritual world to save mankind. They always knew that God wanted to save them. And they didn't even understand the full picture. The Bible says angels wanted to look into this and understand it. They didn't understand it till we understood it. So I wonder if now that they finally understand, they're like, oh, we get it. Now we get it, Lord. We get why there had to be blood. We get why Abel's sacrifice was better than Cain's, because it cost no one their life. We get why his worship, Abel's worship, was greater than Cain's worship. It didn't cost anybody their life to worship me. It wasn't an offering of blood. It wasn't an offering of sacrifice. It was just a, here you go, little dab will do you, God. Didn't cost him nothing. Didn't cost anybody their life. And so I wonder if the angels are like, man, God, your will is being done on earth. We see it now. We see the plan to save mankind. And they know that God said that God wants his will done in heaven as it is in earth. Guess what? Everywhere in the universe, God was sovereign, except one place. And he's sovereign on earth, but because of his sovereignty, he looked at man and said, I'm giving this to you. And then Adam gave it to Satan. And so God was not in total authority over the earth because of what Adam, because he gave Adam authority over the earth, Adam gave it to Satan. And so I wonder if the angels are celebrating like that, because it's like, oh, Satan, you've been gloating all these thousands of years. You've been running roughshod over God's creation. Now the Savior's come. He's taken back what Adam gave away. The God-man, fully God, fully man, has come now to take back what man gave away. And now, not even on earth are you going to have any rule, Satan, because Jesus is going to have total rule. Heaven's his throne, and the earth will be his footstool, and he's going to put every one of your forces under his feet in total defeat and victory over the kingdom of darkness on earth. And I wonder if the angels are rejoicing the way they are, because they're like, oh, yes, no more of this, Satan. No more damaging what God created. No more calling the fall of man. No more rising up the Romans and the Greeks that are torturous and murderous and destroying nations and people and enslaving. I'm going to rise up a church. Jesus Christ is going to raise up the church. And now there's going to be an entity full of the Holy Spirit that says, we can stop some of this. We're going to put a stop to some of this. And Jesus is going to maintain, he's going to reinsert himself as the total authority over the earth. I wonder if that's why they rejoiced. I wonder if we can rejoice when the will of God is done like that. What did Jesus say? Not my will, but your will be done. Golly, we need to rejoice over those words. Those sound like sad words. They might have been sad to Jesus, because he knows he's going to be separated from the Father for 3 straight days. But I'm telling you, it's not sad to us. It's our salvation. It's our restoration. It's a rescue plan from God that rescued our lives. All those that believe it. I wonder about these things. I ask myself these questions when I Google and study. I'm like, why this? Why that? Why this? Why that? And I see many reasons why they would celebrate. Many reasons. Maybe all those reasons. Maybe they were just, man, there's Jesus. He looks a little different. He's in a human baby. But that's Jesus. That's still Jesus. That's the Word of God. I think they were rejoicing because when the will of God takes place, man, we should rejoice. Should be a time of rejoicing. I think we should rejoice because Jesus is now, he's the head of all the earth. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. It said when the choir of angels disappeared and returned to heaven, the shepherds said, I wonder how long that went on. That's got to be amazing. When we all get to heaven, man, when we all get to heaven and all those angels are singing and we're all singing together, man, can you imagine what that's going to sound like and be like? I hope that none of you are standing over there going. If you are, I'm going to come get you. I said in first service that when I was in Africa worshiping, it was like taking a 3-hour jazzercise class, man. I was exhausted and sweating. And because every song they sing, they have a dance to. Some of it's choreographed. Some of it's not. But they're dancing, jumping, hopping. I mean, it's amazing. I'm telling you, you don't see any people that go to church on a regular basis in Africa. They're not heavy. They're in shape, man. You go to the you're going to get in shape just from the worship. And I remember a few times I got tired, man. I'm like, I got to sit down for a second. Man, you can only jump so much and your calves start tightening up. But, man, I wasn't in that kind of shape. So I sat down and they would see me. Certain ones would see me. They'd go, no, and they'd run to me. Pastor Troy, get back up. They just grab me. Come on, let's go. You know, and I'm just telling you that because if you're over there clapping in the corner, you want to sit down, I'm coming to get you. I'm like, no, no more of that. No more standing there. I'm going to pull your hands out of your pockets, and I'm going to throw you in the middle, man. We'll do a mosh pit right there with you. We're going to have some fun, man. Guys, it's going to be fun. We might as well practice on earth, amen? You're crazy, Pastor Troy. Well, call me whatever you want to call me, but I tell you what you won't call me is passive. You won't call me passive. I'm not passive. I mean, I see this celebration, and I'm like, man, this is how heaven celebrates. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. When the choir of angels disappeared and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go. That's kind of the cool thing to say now in sports, you know. Let's go! You know. I watched my son Tucker's here today. He played basketball. I mean, he'd get a big dunk on somebody or do something, and he'd come out of there all skinny little muscles. He'd come out of the pack. He'd dunk. Boom! He'd come down. Let's go! I'd be like, yes! Let's go! That's what the angels said. They encountered Jesus and they say, let's go. You know, I can see differences in people who pray and receive Jesus Christ. And this is an example to us. This is the first people to ever hear about Jesus. First people on earth. Mary knows something. She doesn't know everything. She knows something. She knows it's special. But these guys, they understand something even Mary didn't get. We'll find that out here in just a moment. She hadn't quite got it. And we know by her story later that she didn't quite get it even when he was doing miracles. She didn't quite get it. But these guys got it. You know, the day I went to church, some of you know my story. I'll tell it just real fast. But I was... my brother had gotten saved for about 3 weeks, quit partying, quit drinking, quit smoking dope, quit doing everything, and was staying home on the weekends, and I couldn't get him to party with me. And so I talked to my mom, and my mom was a Christian, but she'd never seen anybody born again like that. And so she thought he joined a cult. I thought he joined a cult, so I went to church to get him out of the cult. No joke. And what put me the tipping point, I don't always tell this part, the tipping point of me getting him out of the cult is one day he came home and said, hey, man. I can speak in this another language. I said, dude, you can't even barely speak English. You can't speak another language. And he said, oh, yes, I can. I said, what language is? He said, tongues. I said, what? What is tongues? And he tried to describe it to me. He didn't know how to talk about it, or he didn't know all the terminology or even the scripture, complete scripture. And so I said, let me hear it. So he rattled off some words in tongues, and I'm telling you guys, this was my tipping point. Something in him, the Spirit of God in him, and the spirit of the devil in me got in a war right that minute. And I rose up and I shoved him. And I said, let's go right now, let's go. I wanted to fight him. He's like, what? We'd been in fights plenty of other times, but not over something like that. I wanted something dark in me rose up and said, oh, man, I was furiously, I don't even completely understand it now, but I see that I was so dark. I just, man, my fists were up. I was so angry. I'm like, let's go. He's like, get out of here. And I don't know why, but I backed off. I said, all right. But I determined right then, I'm getting him out of this cult called Christianity. There's something wrong with him. Guys, I went to church to get him out of it, and I got saved that day. Listen to me. After that, I'm telling you, my spirit, I knew I was born again. I said, let's go. I never missed another. I don't care how many times I fell, how many times I partied, how many times I got drunk, how many times I did things I wasn't supposed to be doing. I never missed another church service. I sought Jesus for freedom. I sought Jesus to teach me how to quit thinking like a slave and thinking like a free man. I was like this. Let's go. These guys heard about Jesus. They didn't hesitate. They said, let's go. This is the difference. When people take their time, like, okay, yeah, I prayed. And next Sunday, no big deal. Next Wednesday, I'm going to go do this. Listen, when you don't go, let's go. When you don't go all in, this is what Satan does. He comes around and he starts stealing the seed. Ah, you didn't mean that. Ah, that didn't mean nothing to you. Don't you want this? Don't you want your own life? I tell this story a lot because it just still blows my mind. But Pastor Brett, when he came to church, he got born again. He walked because Miss Sherry, she was me in the picture, said, I'm not giving you the keys to the car. I don't like this Christianity thing. And but he walked from down over here to church because she hid the keys from him because she didn't want to be a Christian. I don't know how, was it about 3 weeks? I don't know how long it was. How long was it? 2 or 3 weeks, yeah. I get you. I didn't want my brother to be a Christian either. I wanted to fight him. I don't know if you wanted to fight him or not, Miss Sharon, but I wanted to. Did you want to fight him? Oh, she threw a knife at you? Whoa. Well, I didn't throw any knives. I get it. There's a darkness inside of you that hates the light. But she came later, just like I came. She got saved too, but he walked. He just kept pursuing, man. She hid the keys from him. He'd walk here to church. Listen, man, when you get saved and you hear about the Savior, you got to have a let's go mentality, man. Because if you don't go all in, Satan will steal that seed from you. He'll steal it, and it won't produce fruit for you. It won't produce any fruit. And if you just come half-stepping, you'll leave all the weeds in with the crop, and eventually those weeds that you leave in there, just, hey, man, I like, okay, this weekend I'm going to church. Next weekend I'm going to party. This weekend I'm going to do this. I'm going to be gone for 2 months, and then I'm going to, then I'll come back. You know, you start playing those in and out games, you leave so many weeds inside of you, eventually it's going to choke the word out of you. It uses the word choke like, these guys are like, let's go. Let's see. Let's read the end of the story. He said, let's go. And then he says, let's hurry. You need to be in a hurry. Because Satan ain't giving up. We need to be in a hurry. And find this word who is born in Bethlehem and see for ourselves what the Lord has revealed to us. So they hurried off and found their way to Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in a feeding trough. Upon seeing this miraculous sign. That's the miraculous sign, because they are the shepherds that prepare the lambs that are slain. The shepherds recounted what had just happened. Everyone who heard the shepherd's story was astonished by what they were told, but Mary treasured all these things in her heart and pondered what they meant. She still didn't understand. The shepherds returned to their flocks, ecstatic over what had happened. They praised God and glorified him for all they had heard and seen for themselves, just like the angel had said. Man, they were the first evangelists. They were in a hurry to seek Jesus. They were in a hurry to get confirmation. They were born again. They were saved. The Savior had come. They'd been rescued. God, when you pursue him like that, when you got a let's go, let's hurry mentality, and you're pursuing him like that, he said, those who diligently seek me. He said, I am a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. He will reward you with confirmation. He will confirm his word to you, just like he confirmed it to them. And then, man, and when you're that way, you can't help but tell that. I told everybody. I told my football coaches. I told my buddies. I told everybody. Hey, man, I didn't know the word born again. I just said, hey, you know what? I prayed and received Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life. And, man, this is so cool. This is so awesome. And, man, I still cuss. I'd say, this is blankety blank the best thing that ever happened to me. No wonder they questioned my salvation. But I was happy, and I told them all. And that's what they did. They told every stranger on the road back to the tower of the flock, back to their flock. They told the priests who they had a relationship with because they sold the lambs. They told the business people they sold their other sheep to. They had all these connections. They were the perfect people to go and be the first evangelists to start declaring the Savior is born and come to save our lives. It's perfect. Perfect. Because God is perfect. Listen, every head bowed, eye closed, here and online. We don't, that's not a religious thing. That's a distraction thing. We don't want to be distracted by people moving or things happening. You might be at home or in an airport or wherever you're at listening or watching. Might be in a hospital room. Those in a hospital room, from all of us, those that are sick at home, in the name of Jesus, be healed. We speak the word over you. Jesus is the word. Be healed in Jesus' name. Come home healthy and whole in Jesus' name. For the rest of us, man, you might be thinking, you might be in a place, it's an ordinary day, it's an ordinary moment. You show up to church and watching online and same old, same old. There's something different today. Jesus is, he's manifesting in front of you. He's declaring who he is to you. Now it's your opportunity. Now it's your chance. You know, some of the saddest words in the Bible to me, found in the book of Matthew, when the Bible says many, which means most people on the earth, are going to say, Lord, Lord, to Jesus. And he's going to say the saddest words I've ever read in the Bible. I never knew you. Gosh. What does he mean by that? He means that some people who go to church and some people who have prayed, they never really surrendered to his lordship. He said, I never knew you as your Lord. You never really surrendered your whole life to me. Because this prayer we pray is not just a prayer to get, you know, out of hell into heaven and you know, just to get out of trouble. No, this is a surrender. This is, he's the Lord of your life. He came to be Lord. That's why the angels rejoice, because they knew he was Lord. And he says that I never knew you, to people who were, and what they describe as some, man, they had to be church people. But there was never a surrender. He surrendered his life. He humbled himself. You can't get more humble than for the God of the universe to come in the form of a baby in a barn. To be raised without title. Worshipped by lowly shepherds on the day of his birth. Not kings, not the high priests, not the wealthy and the prestigious, not the governor of Rome or Caesar, not even the chief of a tribe, but shepherds. He humbled himself and surrendered his life. He's asking you to humble yourself. Surrender your life so that your life can be saved. You're either a child of Adam or you're a child of Jesus. You're either born again in the Spirit by Jesus, by the Lord Jesus Christ, and accepting his lordship and surrendering your life, or you're born of Adam and you'll die. You'll die in Adam, in sin. Or you can live and be born again, forgiven of your sins, given the gift that you did not earn, that you didn't deserve, of forgiveness in heaven. And no matter how long your life is on earth, it'll be worth it. To serve him one day, 10 years, 1 month, or a lifetime. There's those online and here, you've never surrendered. You still own your life. Just like I owned mine. And what I owned was darkness and selfishness. What Jesus gave me was light, forgiveness, and love. Mercy. Favor I didn't earn or deserve. That's what he wants to give you too. If you've never really prayed and surrendered your life, you got a let's go, let's hurry mentality. Let's pursue Jesus. That don't mean you quit your job tomorrow and start running down Main Street and hitting people over the head with your Bible. It means that you surrender and you learn and you grow and you opportunities arise, you tell people your testimony. You testify of Jesus saving your life. If you've never prayed and surrendered, this is your moment. This is the day of salvation for you. Maybe you've known him and you keep walking away and running away and running away from him. Because you keep claiming parts of your life and you keep letting the weeds grow with the crop and they're choking. Every time you run away, it's just one more. Just tightening the grip of choking out the word of God out of your life. And it gets harder and harder to come back. And it gets harder and harder to not keep doing what you're doing in that old life that Jesus tried to save you from. So whether it's your first time or your next time, man, make this the last time that you have to surrender. Not the last time you may have to ask for forgiveness, but the last time you have to come back and say, man, I've run far away from home. Man, when you sin, run to him, not away from him. That you're going to stop running away. Start running to. You're going to surrender. So if either one of those are you, and the Spirit of God is speaking to you, let's pray. I'm going to ask you before we pray, though, I'm going to ask you to do something on the count of three, something that's very important. Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father. He doesn't want you to be embarrassed of him. He doesn't want you to be ashamed of him. He wasn't ashamed of you when he hung on a cross naked in front of all the world to see. As a common criminal. He wasn't ashamed of you when he came and wasn't born at a pediatric center, but born in a barn in a feeding trough. Don't be ashamed of him. He humbled himself to save us. We can humble ourselves. So I'm going to ask you on the count of three in this room to raise your hand up high and say, it's me. I'm going to get right with God. And then you can put it down. I'm going to ask you online to text us and send us a message. I'm giving my whole life. I'm surrendering today for the first time. I'm coming home and I'm staying this time. All on the count of three. And I'm going to ask you to do something else after this service is over. Go tell somebody. Go tell somebody. Tell somebody. Call your mom. Tell your wife. Tell your kids. Tell somebody you haven't told. Hey, I surrendered my life to Jesus today. Go start telling. Start pursuing. Here we go. One, two, three. Raise your hand up in here and say, it's me. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you all over this room. Man, that's incredible. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All of you. Thank you so much. Thank you. I see all those hands. Over to my left, I see all those hands. I see it. I see that hand right there. I see that. I see all those hands. You can put them down now. Let's pray. Let's all pray together. Say this. Say, God, I believe you are God and God alone. That you love us. So you sent Jesus. Even when we were all your enemies. You died for our sins, Jesus. You raised from the dead to rescue us, to rescue me. I believe it. And because I do, ask that you forgive me of all of my sins. And I receive your forgiveness in your Lordship. Because I say to you, Jesus, from my heart, out of my mouth, you are the Lord Jesus Christ of my life. I am yours and you are mine. I thank you for the Holy Spirit coming to live inside of me that teaches me how to serve and how to fulfill your will for why I was created and why I was saved today. Let's go. Let's go. Jesus, let's go. Until I see you in heaven, thank you for this life that you've given me on earth. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate the goodness of God, man. Yes! Yes!
Thanks for listening today. If you'd like to find out more about Church on the Move, like our service times, or how you can connect with us, you can visit cotmroswell.com.